Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this evening at 7 for a period of Bible study. We urge you to come, bring only your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services, as well as on the church's YouTube channel and the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind this evening at 7. You know, we all remember the, quote, war stories that children love to tell to one another. You know, I must admit that I myself have told a few, but I'm not talking about actual stories of being a soldier in the army, but stories about spanking and utter discipline that we received when we were children. You know, children have wonderful imaginations, and they can almost within moments transform a rather insignificant spanking into the most horrendous beating that has ever been experienced. And it's amazing how precisely that a child can recall the details of his spanking, but then can't remember to brush his teeth or to flush the toilet. These stories create a legend out of a father's belt or a mother's switch. But more importantly, they enable our children to learn from discipline what are approved and disapproved lifestyles. You know, the sad condition of our culture is that the discipline of children has almost been completely forsaken. We've all witnessed temper tantrums in the local Walmart or the grocery store, and we've observed the absolute disregard for any authority and respect of elders that's shown by today's youth, and we may even have used these public displays of behavior as a teaching mechanism for our children, by giving warning of a spanking if their actions ever resemble those of other children. But the lack of discipline is not only found in the world, but it also becomes more evident in the church and among individual Christians. Discipline is a necessity in every Christian's life. Discipline instructs the Christian to reside within the thus saith the Lord. Discipline is used to promote and to sustain healthy relationship built upon the will of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. You know, we would do well to remember the Bible is given to us as a guidebook of the form of discipline that's approved by God. The boundaries that are set by God are not intended to keep us from having fun or doing the things that we enjoy, but they are established to ensure our safety and to protect us from the evil one. One of the hardest qualities of the fruit of the Spirit to cultivate in our lives has to be self-control. We're told about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Men want to live according to their own desire. But as faithful Christians, we must submit our free will to God. Our efforts to grow as Christians are only as productive as our willingness to accept the consequences of and the discipline for any sinful action that we may commit. You see, discipline is God's way of manifesting His love for us. God does not desire for us to fail. He wants us to succeed. But He will not allow our continued sinful actions to go unpunished. Take, for instance, the example that we have in Exodus 34. The Old Testament scriptures are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So what do we learn in the Old Testament? Well, here in Exodus 34, notice verses 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Another passage that we would do well to look at, this one is in the New Testament, in 2 Peter. Notice in chapter 3 what we read in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And two, we need to remember what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. You know, sometimes our first reaction to discipline is that whoever dispenses the discipline is hateful or unloving. But with God, all discipline is given through love. It's in Revelation chapter 3. We read these words in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And to what we have read here a moment ago in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews concentrates upon God dealing with us as sons, not some illegitimate children, but as sons. And the very thought of being called one of God's sons ought to motivate us to live righteously and to live holy, because we understand that without His grace and mercy, we would have nothing. Discipline is no longer viewed as being hurtful and despised. As God said in Hebrews 12, verse 11, yet to those who have been trained by it, and the it refers to the discipline, the chastening, afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. So once again, the result of discipline goes beyond a heated backside and sorrow for actions, but it's a guide to the heart of man to warmly receive his Father's will. Discipline is needed in the individual life of a Christian, but also it's needed collectively in the form of congregational discipline. The practice of discipline of the unrepentant sinner has all but evaporated among many local churches. The carrying out of discipline can cause grief and it can cause sorrow, but it's necessary for the well-being and the health of the local church. It's in Hebrews chapter 13 that we read verse 17. Obey those that rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5 in verse 6, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? You see, the attitude of the local church has long been dictated by the world's being so lenient toward and no support whatsoever of unrestrained behavior. The society living around us for years has been taught that no one is ever completely wrong, because there's no absolute truth, or there is no such thing as morals, or at least morals or whatever you decide for them to be. But everything's relative to our own situation. You see, this mindset has infiltrated the church and has called elders and men to not carry out the duty to discipline those that are found in sin and in sinful situations. You see, instead of action being taken, we wait until they leave, and then we say that we don't withdraw from those that have withdrawn from us. But the opportunity for healthy discipline is past, and now the purity of the local congregation has been strained. It's again back in the book of Revelation in chapter 2 that we read beginning with verse 14. But I have, this is one of the letters that was written to the churches of Asia, and this particular church was the church at Pergamon. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You see, the sad condition of this world must not change the call for discipline, either within a Christian's life or even within the local church. Those that are walking contrary to God's will must be admonished, they must be rebuked, and if there's no repentance, the local church must withdraw from them. The pure motive of discipline is never revenge, but it's wisdom. It's the peaceful fruits of righteousness. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, we read in verse 15, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." And then there's that verse that we read a moment ago in Hebrews 12 and verse 11. "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You see, our obligation to one another goes beyond a phone call or a letter. But in prayer and in supplication, we need to encourage one another to do the will of God. That is, we need to encourage one another to live righteously and sensibly in the days to come. And as parents, we must teach our children to fear God and to keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says that this is the whole duty of man. Or as one translation puts it, this is man's all, and that is to fear God and to keep His commandments. As Christians, we need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, Matthew 6 and verse 33. So our goal is heaven, and it's only through discipline and instruction from God's word that heaven will be attainable. Discipline may be lacking in the world, but with God's grace may it ever be present in the lives of Christians. Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.